the Chicago Tomahawk. I'm Mike, and I got my line mate Matt with me. And today, we're going to go over some Blackhawks news. There haven't been any Blackhawks games because of the NHL All-Star game. We're going to talk about DeBrincat's All-Star game, and we're going to talk about a little bit of NHL news. So before we get started, I want to mention that we are an FHN podcast. Be sure to go check out the FHN.net where you can get articles in NHL news. And they've got also got some other podcasts there. So to get started, you know, the Blackhawks have fired their Ice Hogs head athletic trainer for sexual harassment. You know, this story came out, actually it happened in 2014. It was reported in October of 2021. The Blackhawks did an investigation, and after 5 days, they fired the head athletic trainer. And you know what? I hadn't really heard anything about this. Not many details. Matt, have you heard anything about this?
No, they kept a lid on it, I think. And they're trying, like you said, 5 days. They probably wanted to get it, the investigation finished, fired, and move on from the bad press, because it's just getting worse and worse for this club.
Yeah, it is. You know, I'm glad that they did the right thing. You know, you don't want some piece of trash, you know, walking around and doing God knows what to your players. Gary Bettman mentioned that there wouldn't be any disciplinary action against Rocky Wirtz. He feels the comments that Rocky made were out of frustration. He mentioned the team has been making many changes over the last few months, led by Danny Wirtz. You know, and that's great to hear. You know, it's good to hear that the Blackhawks are making changes. You know, that they need to make some changes. I believe they have made they have an HR department, but they also have a mental health department now that is somewhat autonomous from the hierarchy of the organization, so that it's a place where people can go if there are any problems, to kind of let them out there, and if need be, there'd be an investigation or, you know, somebody to help them. So, you know, that's I think that's important, man, and I think that a lot of other teams, if they haven't already, are going to be following in the footsteps, because just to make sure that nothing falls through the cracks and these things don't happen. I think that it would still be a good idea for Rocky to step down and let Danny run the show. If he can't control his emotions in an environment like that, then his temperament should be an issue for owning an NHL organization. You know, he should be somewhat the face of the, when people see him, they're like, that's the Chicago Blackhawks. That's the owner. That's the guy who is essentially somewhat selling his organization to you. And he embarrassed himself, and he embarrassed the Blackhawks on, when was that? Last Wednesday at the town hall meeting.
Yeah. And his son was very embarrassed, because I think Danny, you know, he's been doing the right things, and I think he was trying to say the right things, and unfortunately, his dad kind of brought him down again, so he's going to have to build that trust up again.
Yeah, and, you know, it kind of sucks for him, because, you know, he's kind of been thrown into this position, because he didn't have any position with the Blackhawks up until 2 years ago. You know, this bombshell of an investigation drops with Kyle Beach, you know, about a few months ago. And then he's forced to kind of clean up the mess from the old regime in a way. You know, he puts together with Jimmy Faulkner, putting together these initiatives to try to make the Blackhawks a better organization, somewhat taking responsibility for a situation he's not responsible for. You know, he kind of just left there holding the matches, and his father comes out here and throws gas on the fire. So, I kind of feel for the guy. You know, it's a rough job to kind of be in, but hey, you're the CEO. He's going to be trying to push this organization in the right direction. The Hawks aren't winning on the ice, so that makes things even harder. And we'll see how the Hawks, how they can better this organization going forward. So let's move on to the GM search. We got Kyle Davidson, who was interviewed for the general manager role. He's been with the organization for 12 years, and you're kind of at a point where, you know, this guy, he's the interim GM right now. He hasn't really had an opportunity to be a GM. It's not, you know, I would say you can give a guy, you know, maybe 2 years to kind of see what he's got going on. Is he running the organization right? You know, do you see good things out of him, you know, before wanting to move on? You know, it's been 12 years, so I think that it's time for his it's time for his opportunity. At the same time, that 12 years, it's kind of like, you know, maybe we kind of need some fresh blood. We need some people in here that weren't around for, you know, the cup run, trying to get some new blood in there. So I kind of think that he has that working against him. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I think he's, you know, he's been here for a decade, a little bit more. I think he would be right to get some new blood in there, somebody with a different vision, because he's kind of, I mean, he didn't sign off on all the stuff like Bowman did, but, you know, he's still involved with it just because he's been there. I personally would like to see, I'm not saying he's doing a bad job now. I mean, really, what can he do? I guess he does have authority to trade people, but if I'm Danny and Rocky, the Wirtz family, I'm kind of putting everything on hold with trading until we hire our new position, our new GM right now. But I don't think he'd be the right one. He's not my favorite candidate. But, you know, it's kind of a bad situation. It's kind of like Coach King. I mean, what can you do? I mean, you're kind of an interim, so you're doing the best you can. I would personally recommend somebody else if I were in the hockey position to make that decision.
Moving on, we got Eric Tulsky has been interviewed as well. He's assistant general manager for the Carolina Hurricanes. Most notably, Tulsky has graduated from Harvard with a degree in chemistry and physics. He also has a doctorate in chemistry from Berkeley. Word is he holds about 17 patents from his work in nanotechnology. So he's a brain. Okay, he's a brain. Yeah. And you want to know, where does the brain kind of fit in? And in this kind of situation, maybe you can have somebody like this. Maybe you have like a co-GM type of role. You have a hockey guy and a brain guy. And you kind of put them together, two guys who can work well together and see what they can do. Because I'm looking at this guy and I'm thinking charts, charts, charts. You know, but you know what? Carolina, they built a really good team out there. So you can't really fault them in that. They've got some success there. They haven't gone all the way, but they've built a really good team. I bet you those penalty minutes became a statistic that they were looking at after last year's playoffs. Matt,
even the goaltending.
Yeah.
Did you notice that too?
Yeah.
They got rid of both, and you know, they added two Swedes. Anderson, who's been lights out, all-star. Antti Raanta, we know him. He's a great backup goalie. I think he could be a 1B starter somewhere. Yeah. I would personally like him on our team.
But, yeah, I would too.
I think this guy is the favorite so far from the fan base, from what I've seen on social media and stuff like that. And you know what? I think those guys are important, like you said, but I personally, for me, would like a hockey-minded guy first. This guy would make a great co-GM, or like what he is now, an assistant GM, but I wouldn't think he would leave what he's got now to be an assistant with the Hawks if he's with a team right now that's very close to winning a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I agree. They interviewed Peter Chiarelli as well. He's currently the vice president of hockey operations for the St. Louis Blues. He was the GM for the,
Cup Bruins.
Yeah, yes. For the Bruins from 2006 to 2015. Then Edmonton from 2015 to 2019. And you know what? When you're talking about Edmonton from 2015 to 2019, that's kind of a little bit of a red flag for me because, you know, you have they had, you know, two of the best hockey players in the world and could have put a team around them. So, yeah. Hey, I would honestly say that Peter Chiarelli is probably at my bottom of the list of the guys that they've interviewed so far.
Well, I mean, we've talked about him before. He's traded Tyler Seguin, Taylor Hall. He's traded Ryan Strome, who's lighting it up right now with the Rangers. He's traded a lot of good players, and that's just a question mark for me. And he signed an over-the-hill Milan Lucic because Connor McDavid once said in a video that he would like to play with him when he was before he was, you know, in the NHL. He liked the style, I guess, but that didn't work out. They ended up trading him to, I think he's with Calgary right now, having a decent season right now, but still $7 million for a fourth liner is not what you want to pay the guy. So he's definitely at the bottom of my list too. It's cool to he did win a Stanley Cup in 2011. He did make the final in 2013 against us. We beat him. But yeah, I don't think he would be the right answer for us either.
Scott Mallenby, he's also someone that has been interviewed. He was the assistant general manager for the Canadiens from 2014 until this past November when he resigned. Notably, Mallenby played in the NHL. I remember, man, they played for that that Florida team. Had 364 goals, 476 assists in, get this, 1,431 NHL games. You know, you got to tip your hat to a guy who put that many games into the league. You know, obviously a hockey-minded guy. I'm not sure if you know, he's the GM that I want, but I'm pretty open-minded, man. I'm not saying, you know, old players can't be GMs, but I think out of everybody listed here, he kind of seems like he's the most sense.
The wild card, yeah.
He makes the most sense, you know? And what do you think of Mallenby?
You know what? I'd actually like to hear more from him. I wish the GMs would be able to kind of do like a live kind of, not like an, like not personal questions, like, but hockey questions. Like, hey, what is your views on, you know, like the team that we have now? And I just would be curious to say, like, you know what? I want to play a different style of hockey. I hope it's not like the Canadian style hockey, because it's kind of similar to what we've been, that you rely on your goalie too much. And look at, I mean, Carey Price hasn't played. Poor guy's just mentally drained because of all the work he's had to do
over the years.
I'm curious to see how he would draft. Like, what kind of players are you looking for? Are you trying to acquire a first-round pick? Because I think that's very important. I would like to get a first-round pick this year, because we're going to be – I'm not saying Columbus is going to get a very good pick because we're not that great. They're going to have two very good picks this year. And I know Seth Jones is a great player. I'm not mad about that, but I would still like to get a first rounder if we could anyway. And I would like to see if any of these GMs would say, hey, I'm going to be aggressive at the trade deadline and try to acquire this. But I do like Scott Mallenby. I would like to hear more about him. I like him, and I like the Tulisky from the Hurricanes. My top two, I think.
Those are your two guys, huh?
I think so.
Yeah, I think I would like to hear more about Mallenby too. He seems like the dark horse, but to be honest with you, looking at these other candidates, he kind of makes a lot of sense though too.
Yeah, and that's the kind of guy I've been always seeing. I like a guy who's, you know, been at the war, you know, been through the grind of the NHL, like over 1,000 games. That's pretty impressive. He's got some decent numbers. I think he was always like maybe a top six guy early in his career, and he kind of fell down a little bit. But I mean, all players do that. But I would like that. And I, quite honestly, I hope that Olchek gets a higher position as well, so he can kind of have a say in how the team is going to. I think that he's the perfect, like the president of the Blackhawks, which I know the Hawks have said they're not going to do that. But, you know, teams out there like I think Pittsburgh recently last year hired Brian Burke, who's, you know, great with, he's a great hockey mind. He knows what he's doing. He's taking on the role of the president, dealing with all the negotiations and stuff like that. And he's got Ron Hextall running the team. And look at Pittsburgh, man. I didn't think they were going to be this good. They're ripping it up.
Yeah, they are.
So I would kind of like something like that. So I hope maybe the Hawks surprise us and say, hey, we're going to give Olchek a role like the president, and we're going to let him deal with, you know, all the hockey ops. And we're going to let, say, Scott Mallenby focus on his team. And I'm going to do everything I can to make him, you know, get everything he needs and, you know, to be successful.
In all honesty, man, I don't think it's going to happen. I think Olchek might have some underlying health issues, and being the president of hockey operations sounds stressful. And I don't think that he's going to be trying to add more stress into his life. I hope that he's all right, but I think that he's got some health stuff going on that he's going to need to take care of first.
Yeah, but even somebody just I think the more minds you have, the better. And you can't, like, Bowman took on too much stuff, and the team, you know, we're paying the price right now because of that, I think.
Yeah, he had the assistant GM role, then he got the GM role, and he steadily got more and more and more and more under him, you know?
Yeah,
and now it's like they're trying to figure out how to who to give, you know, some of these responsibilities to. Do we create another position? Do we create a guy? Do we have a guy run everything again? Or, you know, do we, you know, break these up into smaller, smaller jobs for people to take care of, you know?
We need a new scouting department. I think we're bombing in our picks. I'm not saying Kirby Doc is bad. Even Lucas Reichel's got a lot of promise. Kirby Doc has a lot of promise, but we need to develop our players better and we need to draft better because we got one prospect that's on the top 50 list and it's Reichel. And there's some teams out there like Buffalo. They got like 10 players that are ranked. And wow. We need to do a better job with this. And a new scouting department would be good. And this is the thing. You need to start off at the top before you can hire these. We need to see what the vision is for the new GM. So we're going to have to be patient, I guess. But I hope it gets done soon because that trade deadline's coming fast.
Well, for fuck's sake, you know, you look at Buffalo. I mean, they should have 10 guys in there. You know, how many top 10 picks have they had over the past 10 years? Do you know what I mean?
And they lost Eichel.
Yeah, they did.
They got another first round pick.
Yeah. So, I mean, the guy who panned out as a superstar, they lost him.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think that we definitely need some picks. I wouldn't, honestly, man, I think that the scouting department is doing fine. I think the development department is where it needs a lot of attention. The Blackhawks have pulled a few rabbits out of a hat. And I'm talking about Artemi Panarin and DeBrincat, man. We're talking about two superstars that they got. Well, obviously they got Panarin later on in the draft.
He was a free agent, though.
And they were saying that DeBrincat wasn't going to do well in the NHL because of his size. Well, when he was playing with Connor McDavid, you know, they also chalked it up to that, but he actually scored more after McDavid left and made the jump to the NHL, and DeBrincat just kept on and carried on, and he's done the same thing as he's made the jump to the NHL. I think that the scouting department's doing all right, but just developing these players, they need to take a completely different outlook on it.
We need some luck, too. We need some guys to just come out flying and show everybody, like a Henrik Zetterberg type of guy, like drafted sixth round or whatever he was, and just end up being the first line center in a couple of years. So you need some luck too. It all comes down to luck too.
So the team has also mentioned that they're looking outside of hockey too, and they're looking at baseball. So the Blackhawks have completed another interview with Jeff Greenberg for the GM position. Greenberg currently serves as the assistant general manager for the Chicago Cubs. And you know what? I like the outside the box thinking. I like the idea of like, hey, you know what? We don't have to pull all of our, we don't have to put all of our chips into this hat. Let's see if somebody else has an outside perspective and some other ideas. I really like that. I like the idea of getting some obviously fresh blood in there, but I don't really have any information on this, dude. I mean, the Cubs are, you know, they're another team that is looking to rebuild and retool and try to get to old glory. I'm not sure if he's the answer, but I'd like to hear what he has to say. But you know what, man? It's all speculation. Yeah. They're going to make a call within the next couple of weeks. So we're going to keep an eye on this and see how it develops. So there's something I've been wanting to ask you from a few things that I've seen. What did you think of the All-Star Weekend?
Yeah, it was awful. I miss the old days. You know, the day before was the skills contest. Usually it was a Saturday night, and it was East versus West. Not, you know, all this, all these divisions. It's ridiculous. I don't like the 3-on-3 is exciting, but I just miss the old days, the cool East jerseys, the cool West jerseys with your team logo on the patch and on the shoulder. The skills competition, I enjoy the hardest shot, the accuracy, the fastest skater, and that's it. I didn't like anything else. And I mean, it was cool to see DeBrincat show some personality. You know, it was cool with the hangover because it was big in Vegas. And the rest of it was, I'm sorry, man, it was just awful.
That bad, huh?
I hated it. Yeah, I wouldn't. I would have been pissed if I paid money to go see it because it was a joke.
Wow. You know, I like the old jerseys too. But you know what, man? I thought the jerseys this year weren't that bad. I thought that they were pretty cool, actually. They were kind of retro in a way.
I just don't like the Central versus the Pacific versus the Metro. I mean, that's too much, man. I just like East versus West. I don't know why they're changing that. I'm sure they're trying to get more players from the division, I guess. But, I mean, there's some guys that shouldn't have been there, dude.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there's some guys that sat at home that should have been there. Like Kaner, I thought Patrick Kane's an All-Star. I don't care what anyone says. He should be at the All-Star game. So I just didn't understand that.
Well, here are some, I agree with you 100%. Here are some notable things from the All-Star weekend. Alex DeBrincat, 2 goals, 1 assist in the All-Star game. He looked like he was having a great time, too. Jack Hughes is on the COVID list after All-Star weekend. Nothing like getting all the best players in the world together, then start spreading COVID amongst each other.
Well, they got a cup run. He's got to get healthy.
Yeah, they got to get really healthy quick. Connor McDavid loses fastest skater competition to Jordan Kyrou. Giroux was named MVP. Looks like he's trying to make a statement. His contract's end, it's done at the end of the season. He'll with Philadelphia. Traded. He's going to have some suitors looking at him. And Ovechkin had to enter COVID protocol, so he couldn't make it to the festivities, which is
That's a shame. It's unfortunate. Yeah.
Some NHL news. Robin Herman passed away from ovarian cancer. She was 70 years old. She was the first female to interview players after a game in the locker room. I would probably say most notably as a New York Times reporter, she covered fires and AIDS, gold madness in the Diamond District, and Iran hostages, homelessness, and hippie communal living. So, obviously, you know, she was breaking some barriers there, and but she succumbed to cancer, and you know, we'll keep her in our thoughts and prayers. The women's Olympic team, they have been on a roll at the Olympics. I watched them demolish the ROC the other day. It was actually pretty close up until like around the end of the second period, going to third period. They just let the floodgates open and beat them 5-0. They have a preliminary game against Canada. I think that's either today or tonight at 10 p.m. on USA. Actually, when I'm recording this, it's Monday, so you probably won't even have a chance to see it.
It's going to be a battle. These great rivalry.
It's
great hockey. It really is. These girls, these women, they deserve people watching them. They really do. They're just very entertaining. It's awesome. It's like Hawks versus Vancouver back in the day. I love watching U.S. Canada women's. It's great hockey.
Yeah, I agree. I every Olympics, man. I watch the women's. They're just as good, man.
They deserve it, man.
They're fiery too.
Even the Canadian girls, man. They're awesome.
Yeah,
North America should be proud. They got some really good women hockey players.
So, all right, everybody, that's all that we got for you tonight. Thank you for tuning in. Once again, do us a favor. Hit subscribe if you haven't. Got another podcast coming out on Thursday, so be sure to tune into that one. And we'll see you later. This is the Tomahawk. We're out of here.